We sang from that version of the Lord's Prayer because you've come to the next petition in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. In connection with that, I'd like to read with you Psalm 146. Psalm 146 from God's Holy Word. We'll read the whole psalm together. Listen to God's holy word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. That is God's word in Psalm 146. We turn now to our confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50. This is the Lord's Day that you've come to. You may have noticed, or perhaps it was mentioned by your own pastor, that this section of the Lord's Prayer is a turning point. The first three petitions are what we ask for God himself and what would be pleasing to God, that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done, that his name would be hallowed. And in the second half of the Lord's Prayer, we're turning now to our own needs, and starting with our daily bread. And so this is what we confess together in our hearts in question 125, Lord's Day 50. What does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. That is our confession, Lord's Day 50. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord's Day 50 is a fitting Lord's Day to look at as we enter upon a new year again. We've just started the year 2022, and usually when we come to a new year, there's time for reflection. Perhaps you've done that already over the last couple of days. Reflection on the past, but also reflection on the coming year, and plans are made. We often hear about New Year's resolutions and how so many people are seeking to, you know, make better their lives, better themselves as human beings, make changes to their lives so that they can do things in a better way, and they'll be happier and live without regret down the road. And in Kerwood, actually, on this past Friday night, we did reflect on the fact that there is a Christian way to do resolutions, the resolves that we can make to serve God better, and to really take time to reflect and seriously consider doing that. But whenever we make plans and whenever we're looking to the future and what we hope to get done for the coming year, everyone can be tempted to look to different places for help in that, Some people might, in the month of December, get out their self-help books, or maybe they'll start looking online for different techniques that people have as to, you know, how to do habits better. Maybe I'll get to the gym more regularly, or maybe I will, start a diet that's really going to work this year. I've heard of a new program, and so I'm going to try that one. That technique seems to be successful for more people. We can look to all kinds of different things to help us. But the scriptures, and our confession, Lord's Day 50, they point us to the one place that we should look if we're ever in need, the one place we should look always when we need to be provided for each day again. And whether we're looking for a whole year's provision and what our life might need or what our business might need in the coming year or what our friends might need in the coming year, or whether we're just looking by day, each day again, there's only one place that we need to turn, and that is to God. We need to admit that it's only actually to God that we should be looking for our daily and yearly needs. And that's what I hope to focus on this afternoon under that theme, admit your need for specifically God's provision. Admit your need for God's provision. Not anybody else's, but God's. And so we're going to look at, first of all, God's competition when it comes to looking or admitting your need for somebody's provision. God's competition. And then secondly, God's credentials, why he's the one that we should look to. So when Lord's Day 50 tells us that we ought to pray, give us this day our daily bread, it reminds us that what Jesus is actually saying to us is that we need each day to ask God to provide for our bodily needs. That's the first and foremost thing, our physical needs, bread, food, water. But that can also include other bodily things as well, like health and strength, the needs of shelter and safety. And the Catechism says that even the many things that we might have will not do us any good without God providing them, without God not only providing them, but also blessing them. You can be reminded perhaps of Psalm 127, which says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." So it's God that says that he's going to provide, and we need his blessing. And Scripture shows this principle several times in very dramatic stories. Perhaps the children know one of the stories in Scripture where there's a king who's looking at his finished work, work over his kingdom, and he's marveling at how great this kingdom looked and all the buildings that he's built up and all the different officials that he has working for him. And then he starts to say to himself, "Wow, what a great job I did. I am so good at building kingdoms. I'm so good at building cities. I'm so good at managing this work. Look how good it looks. No one else could have done as good of a job at this as I have. It's thanks to me that this turned out so well." Maybe the kids remember who that was. It's King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. He was looking at the kingdom of Babylon, and he was looking at the city of Babylon, how built up it was. And Nebuchadnezzar was the one that had constructed one of the wonders of the world, of the ancient world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and he really did have a great city there. But he forgot Psalm 127, which he probably didn't know, but he forgot that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. All that he built in Daniel 4 was taken away from him. He ended up getting a dream in which the tree was chopped off, and Nebuchadnezzar lost his ability to think. He ended up among the beasts of the field. He learned that the Lord was the one who was truly in control. And his confession after that lesson was that it's truly the God of Daniel that gives and takes away. But the lesson was that Nebuchadnezzar was looking to himself for that provision, for that success. And that is one of the main places we turn to today to put our trust in besides God. And the Catechism tells us that we should instead be withdrawing our trust from all creatures. It's the last line of Lord's Day 50. Withdrawing our trust from all creatures and placing it in God alone. That's what we're saying when we're praying to God, give us this day our daily bread, because he's the one that can actually provide. And the scripture passage that we read earlier, Psalm 146, says this very clearly, especially in verses 3 and 4. It gives us the competition. Psalm 146 is one of the final psalms in the whole book of Psalms. It's the first one of the, we would call the Hallelujah Psalms. They're called Hallelujah Psalms because they all start with that line, praise the Lord, which in Hebrew is Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But this psalm is unique in that it reflects on our own soul and how we ought to sing praises in our own being. Verse 2 is what reflects that. But then it goes on to describe where we are tempted to put our trust, who we are tempted to look at for help. So verse 3 there, it says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. So who is God's competition and in whom we could put our trust in? It's these princes or any other son of man, any other person that we would look to provide for us. And we could look at this in three different ways, or break this down into three different points, you could say. First of all, the basic meaning of this are the princes that we shouldn't look to are people who are in positions of authority, positions of power. Princes were people that, with their authority in government, were expected to provide for their people, to provide security, to provide safety. And the psalmist is implying that a lot of people typically looked to those who had power over them to keep them safe from very physical dangers, like an army coming in and destroying your city. We might put our trust in princes to keep us safe from foreign invaders. And we could even think the same today. It's good that we have a government in place. They put an army together and they can put up defenses to make sure that we're not going to get ruthlessly attacked by foreign invaders. And we can be tempted to really trust in our government and the many different things they do for our safety and comfort, which they are legitimately allowed to do, but there are still ways in which we can be tempted to trust too much in those things. Yes, they are there to provide safety and security, but they are not the ones that are going to be able to do that without God's blessing. Why is it such a temptation when we look to them? Well, they're the ones with the money. They're the ones with the power. They are the ones that have big numbers in the police force and in the fire department. They're the ones that put all these different economic structures in place to make sure that, you know, people don't become overly poor or the poor people are provided for. There's all kinds of different structures put in place to help people. And we can look at that and say, well, if I do get into trouble, I'll just go to them. They'll provide for me. The message then of Psalm 146, basically, at a basic level, is don't put your trust in those kinds of princes. But we can broaden this out to a second level. The princes here, or the word for princes, doesn't necessarily just have to have a government connotation. Commentators talk about how the modern equivalent of this word would be the influential in society, those who have celebrity, those who have charisma or power or different accolades. And we can expand our trust out to other things, like the innovations of technology that many people have come up with, or the innovations of medicine that some people have come up with. And we believe that we will be well protected by these different things, that all the different terrors of this world and the curses of this world, whether it be floods or plagues or natural disasters of other sorts, that we'll have the different means to be completely protected by them. And of course, We all have different, or there are different and varying views when it comes to the current COVID-19 pandemic, but there's still, I think all Christians can agree, that there's still this temptation to put too much trust in all of these different structures that are being put in place, to think that these are going to save us. And as Christians, we can all admit that it's God who, first of all, needs to be turned to for blessing. Nothing that is done by human beings will see success without the Lord's will and blessing. But that's just one example. We can also think of our work, different types of work. We looked at, in Kerwood at least, Lord's Day 50, when we were doing our prayer service for crops and labor. And you can reflect on the fact that if you're looking to the coming year for your job and for your work, there are many things that you can put your trust in this creation rather than in God to help you out. When it comes to farmers, they can put their trust in fertilizers and pesticides and all the latest technological innovations that might help them get through more difficult years. Or the different technologies that might make production more efficient, so that we produce a little more for just a little less. And couldn't the seed developer who's developing all the best seeds, couldn't that person look at some of the crops that were produced by their fine studies and think to themselves, oh, look at this great crop that I've produced? Or think of the equipment engineer who's been making the equipment more and more efficient as they go along. They look at the rates of production. They look at the fuel efficiency. They look at the earners of the farmers who are using their equipment. And so they think to themselves, well, look at how much these people have benefited from my ingenuity, from my skills. And small business owners, when they see their company take off and the income come in, perhaps you have your own small business and you've been looking at the year end after 2021, and you look at your bottom line, you look at all the revenues that have come in, maybe you even see all the different number of employees you've been able to provide for, and couldn't you be tempted to think, look at the management that I've been able to pull off. Look at all the benefit of all the work that I've done. Or maybe it's not even looking at yourself. Maybe you give the credit to the things that you turned to for help. Maybe you hired an advertisement agency and they did such a good job, you know, building up your online presence, and now you've got customers coming from all over the place and you think, wow, they did such a good job. That's where everybody needs to go if they want to have a successful business. And there are many other examples that you could turn to or trust in for success rather than the blessing of the Lord. Even kids, you can be tempted to do this when it comes to your schoolwork even. If you get a good mark on a test and you did hard work, that's a great thing, but you can come home and you can think, so well, I did such a great job. Look at all the great things that I did. I really did it. And you have to be reminded that, well, you know, all the study in the world won't do any good if God hasn't blessed your work. Or you could be tempted, maybe had the desire to really help out around the house for mom, and you cleaned your room and you did all the chores and you did all the things that could really benefit the family, and you think afterwards, look at how good of a child I am. My parents must love me for the things that I just did for them. And you have to remember again, the credit doesn't go to you. The success doesn't go to you. That would be putting your trust in yourself. It was God who worked that desire in you. He's the one that deserves the credit and the blessing. Over and over again, we can be tempted to give the credit to or look to different people or things and even ourselves as a way to find success or provision. And Psalm 146 is telling us, no, don't put your trust in earthly princes, nor in any person, any son of man. There's no help there. And that leads us to the third thing that I was going to say about the competition in these verses. And that comes in verse 4, and that's just how weak this competition is. His spirit departs, it says in verse 4. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Any human being is merely that, a human being. They're limited. They can't do more than a human being can do. They live a certain amount of time on this earth, and that's it. No matter the power they have, no matter the prestige they have, the money they have, the success, the smarts, the end is always the same. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. That's Genesis 3, and that sounds very similar to Psalm 146. We are but human. And this is exactly why all the things that we could put our trust in, any creature you could come up with, even yourself, and trusting your feelings and your own abilities, it's going to lead to disappointment for you. One day, that person that you're looking to, they can be there, and then the next day, everything can change. Or if you're going to put your trust in technology to save you. A lot of people did that over the last 100 years. If you look back to what people were talking about in the 1920s and 1930s, they thought, oh, now the technology is here. Now the world is going to become a better place. But then what happened? They ended up using that technology to fight each other. They went to war against each other, and that technology created all kinds of incredible destruction that everyone regretted. And even if we start, you know, not learning that lesson anymore today, and we start using technology again, or thinking technology is going to fix everything, well, today we're still wrestling with the effects of all that we've been experimenting with. All that the competitors that you can come up with to lean on in the coming year for your success, they're all going to fall short. Even the best will not do us any good if we don't first look to the Lord for help. And that's really at the heart of the Christian gospel, because we don't just need God for our physical needs. We need him for everything, for our spiritual needs as well. And no mere creature could ever meet all of those needs. Human beings just keep making matters worse. Sin upon sin led to more and more punishment. What we needed was God himself coming in the form of man to provide for our spiritual needs too. As the Catechism says, our care and work, nor even God's gifts, can do us any good without God's blessing. That's true in so many different ways, physical and spiritual. So why is God the best one to turn to? Why is he the one that we should ask for blessing each day again as we come to him in prayer, and especially as you bring in another year and you look to him for blessing in the coming year? Well, that's what we're going to look at in the second point, God's credentials. Again, I turn back to Psalm 146 because the psalm turns in verse 5 to a different subject. First, it's talking about the princes and trusting men, but now it switches to God. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. In other words, in contrast to trusting in the princes for help, God is where true help is found. Why? Well, that's what the rest of the psalm goes on to talk about. These are all, you could say, credentials that God has as to why we need him for help. And you can split up the credentials into three different categories. I guess I had a lot of C words in my head as I was preparing for this sermon. They are the creative credentials, the compassionate credentials, and the continual credentials. Creative, compassionate, and continual. The first one is creative, and you can see that one in verse 6. God is the one who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. But the focus there on the fact that God is the one who made everything. And that, of course, we find in Genesis 1. It reminds us of who God really is. He is the one who made everything. It's not just a title for him that he's the maker of heaven and earth. When we say that he's maker of heaven and earth, we're saying that he's the one that knows everything about this creation. He knows how it works. He's the one who designed it. And he's the one who continues to look after it in everything. So it makes sense to look to him for help because he knows how it works. It doesn't make sense to put your trust in one of the other works of his hand, some other creature, rather than the actual one who created. Paul, the Apostle Paul, makes the point of how foolish this is in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. He talks about how the world, they go after, instead of God, they go after the creature. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. It's foolish because everything that God made, he knows. Maybe you could think for a second of the self-driving cars that Google is coming out with, and I believe there's other companies that are working on it as well. If you would ever purchase that kind of thing and you have a problem with it, you might think, well, I'll research or look up online what might be the problem with this car. But the most important thing to do would be what? To go to the designer of the car, to the program coder who made it. They are the ones that know intimately all the details of how that car is supposed to function. And if it's not functioning properly, they can adjust things, hopefully, to fix it. Well, God designed every last atom in this world. He knows it all. It's all numbered by him. He knows how it all works. So it makes sense that if you're looking for provision, for blessing to function well in this world, he's the one to turn to. He knows what is best for you. So his credential, first of all, is that he's the creator. He's creative. The second credential is that he is compassionate. And that takes up a significant section of the psalm. There are a whole list of people that God is compassionate towards in Psalm 146, verses 7, 8, and 9 all describe this. I believe there's 9 different groups of people that the Lord shows compassion to. The oppressed get justice, the hungry get food, the prisoners get freedom. The blind have their eyes opened. Those who are bowed down, they get lifted up, they get raised. The righteous are loved. Strangers are watched over. The fatherless and the widow are relieved. And you could even say it's compassionate that God turns the ways of the wicked upside down so that they stop being wicked or that they see the results of their wickedness. But this is God being compassionate. And the Old Testament is full of descriptions of God calling his people to be compassionate like he is, to care for the people who are disadvantaged in society. There are laws in the Old Testament of ways to not take advantage of the poor by, well, basically enslaving them and taking all their land. They were sitting ducks when a husband passed away and there was a widow left over. You could almost imagine the vultures circling to be, oh, we're going to take her land because she can't function on her own in our society. We're going to earn all kinds of money off their land. We'll enslave them, and they'll have to pay us back basically for the rest of their lives. People do that all the time today as well. Companies in competition, if they see a company starting to slip, they don't throw them a lifesaver. They throw them an anvil, and they hope that they go down in flames so that they get more business, so that they get more more clientele. But God has always worked differently. He works in compassion. He works for those who are disadvantaged, for those who are sinking. He lifts them back up because he is other-focused. He's not just focused simply on things for himself. He shows us what selflessness looks like, because it's so natural for us, isn't it, to just use others for our own benefit. But the lesson here in thinking about God being a compassionate God is that we need to turn to him for help, because he's the one that will actually consistently care. He cares about you. He'll never let anyone slip through the cracks, even the most easily forgotten of people. He takes notice of and gives his special attention to. It's the wicked who have tried to bless themselves that the Lord will snatch away the blessing from and bring to ruin. But more importantly, these verses should also remind us of the one who came, who perfectly represented the compassion of God, and when questioned as to whether he was the Messiah, described how in his ministry the prisoners were being set free, the eyes of the blind were being opened, and the good news was being proclaimed to the poor. Jesus. Jesus was the exact representation of the Father's glory, says Hebrews 1. When we see Jesus, we see the Father, says the Gospel of John. And when we read Psalm 146 and we see the Father there, Jesus is a living display of this compassion of the Father. He took care of all that was laid on his path, all the people that God provided him with. He set aside time for the little children and for the blind beggar on the side of the road. He healed all the sick of their diseases, even if it meant staying up so late into the night often that he barely got rest. But even more than the compassion that he displayed in his life, the compassion he showed in his death is all the more important, as he willingly gave up his entire life for sinners. Again, the gospel of the letter to the Romans and the gospel that's contained in there speaks to this in chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And what prince or leader or anyone that we could put our trust in, which one is as compassionate as this gracious God? There is none. He's limitless in his compassion. We sang of that in Psalm 103. He's rich in mercy. His love is steadfast. And it abounds. He is, as the Catechism reminds us, the only source of everything that is good. But one more credential yet. Continual. Continual. There's two verses or two phrases that I haven't covered yet in Psalm 146. At least after verses 3 and 4, and that is, those are two verses that speak or use the word forever. And so first of all, verse 6, the end of verse 6, who keeps truth forever. Or as some translations have it, who keeps faith forever. God is continually upholding all that he stands for. God is continually there in everything for his people. And again, the contrast with the others that we could put our trust in. People can have good intentions for a while, but when tough times come, they can bail. You can have decent people in government, and decent people get positions of influence. But can you really trust that when they're faced with temptation, they will always do what is right for others and not sometimes sneak in things for themselves? We're too human. It's not a coincidence that so many times the people who are in power and who have authority get found out to be involved in all kinds of different scandals. The temptation is too strong to get something for themselves. But not God. God is steadfast. He keeps truth forever. He is always going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, he'll never desert you. He'll never leave you on your own. Even if he would choose to make this year, 2022, a difficult year for you again. Even if he would make it so that you're not seeing all your needs provided for the way that you thought. Even if he would make it so that your health needs are not always provided for, or your safety isn't always provided for, and you have a difficult year that way. Yet because he is steadfast, you can trust that even in those kinds of circumstances, this is not something outside of his control, and it's not something that he's doing because he doesn't have compassion on you. There is a purpose for it. He keeps truth forever. He is faithful forever. And that's because of the second forever in Psalm 146, verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. God is the ultimate king. And he's in control always, forever. Nothing is going to get in his way. Nothing's going to dominate him. He's not some fad that will fade away. Even the most dominant empires of the world rise and fall, but the Lord stands forever. And his care is never wavering. You can't get anyone or anything with these kinds of credentials that the Lord has. That's why he deserves praise here at the end of the book of Psalms. Even in our stormiest days, even when the year that has gone by has not seen that much blessing, and even when the year ahead may look bleak still too, there's no competition. There's only one to turn to, the king who looked at his prince as he reigned and together with his prince said, "We'll have you go down, prince, and give up your life to provide for these people. We will together do whatever it takes to make sure that they are provided for in body and soul so that they can be with us for eternity." And so God sent his son. This is the God that you're turning to today to seek his blessing over your work for the coming year. Don't be tempted to give credit where credit isn't due. He is the one who blesses us with technological innovations. He's the one who blesses us with medicine. He's the one who grants power and who can take power away. He's the one that can allow your business to succeed. He's the one that can give you very nice techniques, but he can also take away that success. He can also take away all that is needed in order to be provided for. He is the one who gives, the one who takes away. And that is why he is the one you need to call on to give you your daily bread. And we together, as we look to him as a church even, need to expect from him alone all that we need for our success, for our health, for our strength, for all our bodily needs in the coming year. May we look to him. Let's pray. Heavenly God and Father, there is no God like you. There are no people that we could turn to provide for us that could ever do the job that you do. We marvel at how powerful you are. We marvel at how consistent you are. We marvel at your love and your mercy. Your overall character is perfect. And Father, as we seek to live this year, 2022, to your glory, we look to you for help, knowing that we are turning to the right one. We pray then that you will show your power in our lives, that if it be your will, we may see you giving us the wisdom and the strength and the health and the food, all that we need, is that we might be able to serve you well, that we might be able to further your kingdom in this world, and ultimately that we may be able to give you the credit and the praise for the work that you are doing in and through us by your Spirit. And so, Heavenly Father, provide for us in these ways. We acknowledge you to be the fountain of all good. And so, Father, pour out your goodness in our lives. Equip us, whether it's in our jobs in the coming year, whether it's in our relationships with others, whether it's within the church, or whether it's those outside the church. Pour out your goodness. Provide us with all that we need, whether it is the means to help others, the time to help others, or even simply the words that might help others. Provide for us by your Spirit. Build up our relationships. And Father, build up your church. We ask then that you will display the power that we know you have as creator of heaven and earth. Show your power, Father, in our lives, and guide us then into this year. We ask it all through Jesus Christ, our great Savior and Redeemer, the one who gives us access to you and allows us to ask you these things in all boldness. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Our song.